Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The song is not for Koinonia, the song is for me. So I'll go and I will learn it and sing. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. It's an honor again to serve your purposes, and we thank you for this graduation ceremony. We decree and declare that you will oversee everything that will happen here tonight, and let Jesus be glorified. Amen and amen. Please be seated. It's drizzling outside, and so because of that, I'm sure that many adjustments will be made. People will have to find their way in. Please, whatever sacrifice we need to make sure that we ease any stress, please let it happen now. Please, if we need people to come in, whatever sacrifice, let it happen now. We don't want people under the rain, please. If it means to stand, let the people just, whatever space we can find, we're excellent people, but we're people of love. It doesn't make any sense to have a few people in the rain. If there are any elderly ones there, we can relocate them to another seat while the younger ones will stand. Praise the Lord. Tonight we'll be very fast so that we'll conserve time. 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's be a bit patient so that we ensure that please let our father sit down. Benga, let him please create a space for him. Let him sit down. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's give them 5 minutes. Where's K Strings? Sing for us that song. Where is he? He's not here. That Hausa song. Kai kabani sabonre kyota.
Dugna kane har abada kaunar ka. Forever and ever, I offered your treasure, Lord, that I may be free to me. Kahonar ka, Prabhu ka marsa, Rai ka bani, Saban Rai kyauta.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, K Strings. Very powerful song. Amen. First Timothy chapter 1, we'll read from verse 11 down to 17. There is a motivation behind the things that we do. By the grace of God, we are a people of vision. And more than, please listen, more than an encounter and a divine instruction, the primary motivation for the school of ministry and what we do is not just because we had spiritual experiences that proposed this kind of action, but that it is a pattern in scripture that part of the principles of kingdom advance is that there has to be a platform and a system provided to mentor, to guide, and to build believers. First Timothy chapter 1, and we'll start from verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul is speaking now. 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Take note of that. Because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, 16, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Listen now. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. The last verse, 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Paul is speaking here, and it's a very interesting and very open communication. And he said, I thank Jesus Christ who has enabled me and counted me to be faithful by putting me in the ministry. And he said, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. He says, boy, I obtained mercy. Why? Because I did all I did ignorantly. That means that ignorance is a very terrible thing. The apostle is saying, look the damage that I caused to the lives and the destinies of men. And he said, I obtained mercy, and that mercy appeared as access to light and knowledge. He says, because I did what I did ignorantly. That means any generation that does not experience the mercy of God in providing illumination will do themselves and do that generation a damage, fatal damage. There is no limit to the extent of disaster that ignorance can produce in the life of an individual. Hallelujah. I learned very early by the grace of God in life that wrong results, that when a man's life is ineffective, please listen, when a man's life is wrong and a man's life is ineffective, that ineffective results and ineffective living is as a result of a wrong belief system. This is very important, that a man's inaccurate or erroneous belief system can produce a life, produce a destiny that becomes a disaster. Now, Paul made a very serious statement here. He said, I did all these things I did. As bold as he was whilst he was doing them, now in light of truth, he's saying, I was ignorant. Ignorant that there is a higher way to live. Ignorant that there is a more effective way to live. Our society is full of people who continue to live in ways that frustrate their own lives and their own journeys on earth. And many times, because our world is full of a lot of pride and arrogance, even in the height of error, in the height of failure, men will continue to boast that they know. But Paul said that when God wants to help a man, he will show him a kind of mercy that appears as spiritual illumination, light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so that wrong results is as a result of a wrong belief system. Listen carefully. And a wrong belief system is as a result of an inaccurate or a wrong teaching. We're tracing this thing now. So a man's life is completely wrong and ineffective. A territory living wrong and ineffective. Are we together? And that when we trace it, it will take us back to the belief system of that man, that family, that community, that territory, that nation. Are we together? And that the wrong belief system came as a result of inaccurate or wrong, erroneous teaching. Look how dangerous this is. That means I can be as sincere a man of God as can be, and yet the content of my information may be wrong and pungent. And people can believe me. The believing was right, but the information believed was wrong. It can program a man's mind. The problem is not believing. The problem is the contents, the body of knowledge proposed to people. So a man's life, a reflection of a wrong belief system, convictions that came out of teachings, came out of propositions. When God came to Adam, the Bible says that they heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. And this is what he said, Adam, where art thou? And the Bible records that Adam said, I heard your voice, but I hid because I was naked. The next question was, who told you? You have submitted yourself to another information that is outside the body of information I gave you. And that information is now reprogramming you, and your life is becoming an execution of that belief system. Hallelujah. It takes more than counseling to help an individual, a family, and a generation. Many times, the challenge is not a mistake. The challenge is not wrongdoing. The challenge is a belief system programmed into that person as a result of wrong or inaccurate teaching. Praise the Lord. As a minister of the gospel, by the grace of God, I continue to re-examine the content of the truths that I communicate, because you help people by doing something to their belief systems. And when the content of your information is wrong, you will program disaster in people. Praise the Lord. There are all kinds of information that float the church, float our sociological sphere, that people have received over many years. They have created perspectives about God, perspectives about life, perspectives about success, perspectives about the devil, perspectives about destiny, and so on and so forth. And so society is like a ground of experiment that allows people to continue to live out their ideologies. And very clearly we see that there is a problem there. The corruption that is in our world, the ineffective leadership, the terrorism, and all of these things, they are report cards that are a message to go back to our value systems, to go back to our belief systems, and begin to probe and vet the content of the information that is allowed into the minds of a people. And then we trace it back to wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. The Bible says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, and they shall give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils." It didn't say the people are wrong. It didn't say the people are fake. It's saying that for some reason, through seduction, they have veered off the counsel of God, and they are now proposing doctrines that the Bible calls doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons. Inaccurate teachings, inaccurate information will finally lead us to erroneous, imbalanced ministers, imbalanced lecturers, imbalanced leaders, imbalanced mentors. Whoever has access to speaking and molding the minds of people will ultimately take responsibility for this kind of error. Wrong results, wrong manifestation, traced to a wrong belief system, traced to a wrong information, and traced to a wrong mentor. It's not enough to submit yourself to mentorship. It's not enough to submit yourself to leadership. It's not enough to submit yourself to governance. It matters that we vet the understanding of the voices that shape our spiritual paradigm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This has been my contemplation for many years, that there is a very big problem, first with us preachers and then leaders. There is something we may not be getting right in the content of the information that we know and believe ourselves. I can only teach from the abundance of my conviction. And if my convictions are imbalanced or erroneous, it will spill over. I will transfer that limitation. And then that limitation begins to be transferred until the limitation gains ground. Just because a limitation has existed for many years does not mean it is right. Hallelujah. There are many, many ideologies about God, about success, about money, about destiny, about leadership that are not founded upon the integrity of Scripture. Most times, these ideologies came as a result of the pride of men, the experiment of their ideas, and they did not propose those ideas as humble students in the school of life, subject to growth. The level of certainty and the level of inflexibility that was there in communicating this error is why it's almost difficult for it to bend. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And very clearly, we continue to see that the results are not showing. Our churches are full of people every Sunday, every Monday, down to Friday, Africa and Nigeria is the most religious continent. And yet in the midst of this supposed encounter with scripture, encounter with men of God, you see that number one, the spiritual impact is not justified by the level of investment that is committed in churches and all of that. YouTube is full of all kinds of messages by us men of God scattered across this country, Africa, and around the world. But many times, the content of the information is sometimes very dangerous. It's not only wrong, sometimes it is very dangerous. People have adopted these ideologies and their lives began to go down. There are people who started going down when they started getting serious with church. The more they submitted themselves to certain information, the more they were becoming a disaster. Not because their submission was wrong, but the propositions that were given to them. Are we together? So we see that our society today is a reflection, the decadence, the bedeviling of this society is a testament that we need to go back and re-examine our belief systems. Go back and re-examine the content. There is no truth on earth today. There is no truth in the body of Christ that is above being vetted. No matter how long it has stayed, and no matter who and what proposition, respectfully, it deserves to be screened and rescreened from the lens of truth, from the lens of God's word. If we do not sustain the courage to do that, we will continue to transfer disaster from one generation to another. Hallelujah. There are many things I used to believe. I do not believe them again. There are many things I didn't used to believe. I believe them now. There are many things I didn't believe before. I will never believe them. There are things I believed before and I will die believing them. Conviction. It says, but I know whom I have believed. Not just that I know what I believe. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. I have come to a point of certainty. Conviction. Praise the Lord. So it's really a burden in my heart, and I thank God for the privilege to be able to use our school of ministry as a platform in partnership with so many around the world who are making contributions to begin to propose a change of belief systems. The poverty that plagues our society, the increase in religion and decrease in spirituality that plagues our society, the ineffectiveness as far as national transformation is concerned, is terrible. The average believer in Africa and in this nation has almost nothing to give from a governmental, socioeconomic standpoint. It is dangerous. Are we together? The average preacher, on dropping the mic down, has no relevance beyond the scope of the pulpit. These kinds of ideas are dangerous because this is the key to causing a generation to become servants, causing a generation to be subjugated by superior intelligence. We need to begin to reinvent our idea about God. The Bible says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Your wisdom must produce salvation. If your wisdom does not produce results, it is not wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is justified by her children. Hallelujah. So my heart is really gladdened for the privilege and the opportunity to provide the information that God has trusted us with to be able to build and mentor our precious ones. And the school works on a twofold system. Number one, we believe in transformation through the renewal of the mind, providing superior belief systems. And then when the belief systems have been crystallized in the people, now they are prepared for impartation. Hallelujah. I have learned the short-circuiting power of receiving impartation when your mindset has not changed. It is a disaster. Most times, an untransformed mind will make the anointing look like it is not an advantage. The strength of the anointing, the strength of spiritual empowerment, the potential of spiritual empowerment is seen only when it rests upon an enlightened mind. And so the Bible says to permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And our system comes directly from the mentorship structure of Jesus. For 3.5 years, there is no record of any impartation between Jesus and the disciples. From Matthew chapter 5, he began to mentor them, introducing superior ideas. Your people say this, but this is what I now say. It has been said this. This is now what I say. Are we together? When he walked upon them, did you know, I was telling the students, did you know that when Jesus resurrected, he didn't even have the time to celebrate his resurrection. He called on the disciples quickly to continue the lecture. I have 40 more days with you and we have not finished the curriculum. I need to finish up what I have to do. And then he was with them 40 extra days. Afterwards, he said, now the Holy Spirit can come. The value of the Holy Spirit will be seen in your transformation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is very, very important. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Pastor Alpha shared a little of this, and our father Pastor Tula spoke a little on this. Let's look at it very quickly and then we will pray. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. He says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is God's authorized strategy for the maturity of the saints. That number one, there are things that have been committed to you. The things represent a body of spiritual truth. A body of spiritual truth. The Bible calls it marvelous light. Are we together now? So the things, the information, the spiritual information that has been committed to me, that thou hast heard, the knowledge, the revelation, the light, the patterns that have been committed to me. He says the first thing is make the men faithful before you commit it to them. Because if they are unfaithful, the information will not have the opportunity to last beyond them. So work on their minds. Bring them to a point where they are faithful. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And then you commit them to faithful men. And the faithful men will commit to others. Let me tell you sincerely, what you see God do in this place tonight, alongside what he's doing scattered across different regions in this nation, in Africa, and around the world, is a real move that has come to stay. There is no power in existence. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He's about to establish something. And they said, some say you are Elias, some say you are one of the prophets. And then he said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, is? And none of them could talk. They kept quiet. Peter, by the Spirit, saying, I know who thou art. He says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looks at Peter and says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, right? But the Spirit of the Father. And then he says, and now thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So Christ is the builder of the church. And every time the pattern has been corrupted, the Spirit of God will come once and again and begin to chisel and begin to correct dimensions, correct imbalances, supply dimensions that are needed but have not been received. This is what God is doing here tonight. Building us, providing that kind of balance, because the lamb's wife is equal in length, equal in height, equal in breadth, depth, and all of that. He says, come and I will show you the lamb's wife. Then he showed me a city. We do not want to raise a people who are spiritual and then continue to fail in their lives. We do not want to raise a people who are obsessed with money, prosperity, material things, carnality, mundane things, and they do not have a heart that has been pegged on the things of God. We do not want a people who will excel and then fail in family, raise children who are a disaster to society. We also do not want people who are preoccupied with career, intellectual living, that they have no space to be able to make an impact. There is a body of truth. It's not an opinion. It's not a guesswork. The Bible never said to invent it. It says, stand by the way. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. The old way, that ancient part, he said, ask, ask. And when you have found the way, he says, walk ye in it, and you will find rest, rest for your soul. Praise the Lord. So the courses that we have taken the students through were designed to be able to provide the dimensions that we feel by the Spirit and in accordance to Scripture will provide for a very effective Christian life. I am very, very obsessed with efficiency. I detest inefficiency of any kind. It is important that people live to the full expression of the potential of what the life and power of Christ affords. So we continue to strive by the Spirit to help the students and to use the School of Ministry as a platform to achieve this. And you cannot tell how gladdened my heart is in the presence of loved ones, friends, visitors, men and women of God, and other prospective students that will be coming. It is my desire that the School of Ministry and the students that continue to come out of it, that they become epistles of the possibilities that can be when people are properly mentored, properly taught the ways of God. Hallelujah. So when the mind of the student is transformed, then now the Holy Spirit can now freely pour out of the vastness of that anointing and that grace. Why? Because the mindset can now host the anointing and allow the full potential of what the power of God can do in and through a man to find expression. Did the Bible not say grace and peace be multiplied to you first through the knowledge, listen carefully, of him that has called you into glory and virtue? Then the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given us. So his divine power is there, but you have to grow in the knowledge first. Then his divine power can come upon your life and make you a sign and a wonder. The apostles lasted because they were well taught, they were well trained. Hallelujah. And then the impartation came upon them, and by the time we study in the book of Acts, they said, these are they that turned the world upside down. The difference between any two people, as I attempt to conclude, the difference between any two people is, number one, the extent of spiritual illumination that they have been able to access by grace. Number one, this is the first factor that separates people into cadres of possibilities. Number one, access to light and spiritual illumination. Number two, the relationships that they sustained at that enlightened version of themselves. Because every time you grow, you are provided an opportunity to connect with relationships that reflect that growth. And then number three, the graces that operate in the lives of those people. This is the ultimate These are the ultimate factors that distinguish any two people. The difference between any man and any man, the difference between the great and the mediocres, the difference between kings and servants, the difference between mighty men of God and mediocres, the difference between transgenerational leaders and mediocres is this. Number one, access to light, spiritual illumination, enlightenment. Number two, the relationships that are maintained at that enlightened version of themselves. And then number three, the summation of the various graces that work in their lives. It's the reason why we create a system of relationship and community within the school of ministry. Why? Because as the believers begin to grow, it is important that they are not growing alone. It is dangerous for a believer to grow alone, because when you have a community of like-minded people, it will help to sustain that kingdom value. It is difficult to grow sustainably in isolation. And so God will have to provide for a platform for a community lifestyle connected, not just by desire, by knowledge, similarity in value, perceptions that are similar. And then finally, and that's what you are about to receive, the grace. The grace of God is a definition of all the possibilities that can come from Him, routed through Christ. It is the anointing and the grace that is upon an individual that will govern the possibilities that his life commands. It is not the love of God. No, for the same Lord is rich unto all. Are we together? Yes. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. But our results will continue to be, the disparity will be a testament of the kind and the level of the grace. And like I was sharing with the students while we're praying, waiting upon the Lord in prayer yesterday, I told them that I know a bit about the anointing. I may not claim to know everything, but the anointing, the grace of God, operates in levels and dimensions. This is very powerful. Let me reiterate it before we begin to pray. That means that just because you access an anointing, it's not generic in its operation. It does not mean every problem will be solved just because you are anointed. Are we together? Grace and peace be multiplied. That means that I can receive an anointing and that engracing can continue to multiply. I can grow several dimensions of the same grace, the same empowerment. And then the anointing of the Spirit is also dimensional. The healing anointing will not prosper you. No. There is a separate grace allocated for that. The anointing that prospers will not bring influence to your life. You see, it is important for you to be able to access the various graces. And that's what is going to be happening here shortly. The impartation is an introduction for many people and then an upgrade for many people. Are we together? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Please, let's have the anointing oil. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Look what the Bible says. And God is able to make all grace. Please say all grace. All grace. That means you can have some grace, but you need all grace. All grace. All grace. Let me do an illustration. Can I use you, the gentlemen? Three of you, come, please. Look at this. Please come and join them. Watch this. All grace. That means that this can be a grace that provides for the increase, supplies of kingdom resources. This is a grace that makes for influence. Are we together? This is a grace that brings revelation, access to truth. This is a grace that brings favor. Now, the Bible says God is able to make all grace, meaning I can have only the grace for wealth, and not have access to light and revelation. I have grace. I don't have all grace. If the situation that stands before me requires revelation, I'm in trouble. If the situation that stands before me requires money, then the grace I have can work on it. But if it requires revelation, I am in trouble, because the grace that provides illumination to make all men see is not there. Are we together? So when God wants to help me, he will supply this dimension of grace in addition to that which I have. So the Bible says, God, looking at your destiny, he knows that there are several junctions in your destiny that will require several graces. And the Bible says, God is able, it is within his power to coordinate all grace. Come close to me, gentlemen. All grace. So that as I walk through life, these graces are walking with me. When I get to a door that was closed by poverty, I find which grace at work in my life is allocated for opening that door. When I find out that influence is one of the keys for kingdom advance, which of the graces? You see that? God is able to make all grace. I've told the students that there is nobody who would have worked with God a while that does not have a measure of that empowerment. But you see, the problem is that the demands of destiny will demand certain anointings, and if you do not have them, you can mark time there for the rest of your life. There are doors that only the grace for favor will open. It is true. And if that grace is not at work in you, you become limited helplessly. There are graces that can cause a generation to hear you. It is not just because what you are saying is truthful that a generation will listen to you. No, there is a grace for influence that can cause a man to become the face of God to a generation. It is a grace. And every grace, I tell you, every grace is transferable. In fact, God never gives an anointing to stop with the initial recipient. When God wants to spread his grace to Israel, he finds Jacob. So while he's imparting Jacob, the intention is that it lights upon Israel. Hallelujah. I have been like a spiritual archaeologist with an open heart, fishing through the body of Christ for the graces that are allocated for the possibilities that we see and we have heard. There are many graces that are almost virgin graces right now, because almost whole generations have ignored them, but they are there. For as long as the scripture identifies the presence of these graces, anointings do not leave earth to heaven. So if it ever came, it is present. There are many factors that are responsible for the inability of the saints to receive graces, the chiefest of them being dishonor. Dishonor is the master key to being barren of the anointing. The system that shuts a door. Dishonor. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to spiritual laws. Hallelujah. I can tell you this, I have found graces, and every time I listen to a man, every time I study books, every time I search through scripture, number one, I am looking for the light of God's word, the spiritual illumination. But number two, I know that it is always light and power, the grace and the power. It never is just the revelation alone. Every revelation is backed up by a grace dimension. If you find the truth alone, you are not free. Are we together now? There has to be. Jesus already gave them spiritual information, but he said, tarry ye. The information alone will not produce results. These things I write unto you, O excellent Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Not teach alone, do. Hallelujah. So there are graces. And you can know
when a grace has come on your life by the possibilities that your life begins to capture. I can know. Look at Samuel and Saul. The Bible lets us know that Saul, the son of Kish, went out looking for the donkey. If Saul had a prophetic grace, will he have to roam around? Are you seeing that now? They went around searching, and after 3 days, they said, let's return so our father would not leave the issue of donkey. But then they remembered that there was a holy man of God. And then they went to Samuel, and Samuel said, go up and I will tell you what is in your heart. And he said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be king over Israel? And he poured oil on him and began to describe possibilities that will happen. When he left his house, that was not captured in his experience. He said, number one, restoration. Your donkey by itself will go back. It is not everybody's donkey that goes back home. There are donkeys that when they are missing, they are gone forever. But there is a grace a man can carry that will make what left to come back home. Number two, he said, on your way going, you will find 3 men, and each of them holding 2 loaves of bread. Are we together now? It's called prepared blessing. They are not holding flour to make bread. The bread is already made. Then he says they will salute you and they will give it to you. Because it takes time to turn flour into bread. And if your life has been delayed, sometimes you don't need flour. You need bread directly. It's a time redemption strategy. And then he says that there is a grace that can make men to salute you immediately. There are times that what you receive is the grace to go and farm and wait until seed time. Receive the grains, store them, process them, make them into bread before you are consumed. That's wonderful if you have time. But if time has already gone, you don't have the luxury for all of that. And so there is a system in the economy of God where the bread is already made and they are working with it already. And they will salute you and give it to you. And then he says that he will come to the garrison of the Philistines. And then he said that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you shall be turned into another man. When Saul began to prophesy, they said, is Saul also one of the prophets? This is how you will know that something has come upon a man. That I know the yesterday version of you, and now I'm looking at your life. From whence cometh this grace? They looked at Jesus and they said, is this not Joseph's son? We are not confused here. This is the same person. Joseph's son. But from age 12, Jesus was in the temple, submitting himself to knowledge. Although the word, the living logos of God, he submitted himself to the word. And for 18 years, we don't hear anything about Jesus. At age 30, he's on his way to John. And then he identifies John. John says, behold the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And he said, no. Suffer it to be so, that all scripture will be fulfilled. And the Bible says that when he dipped John and brought John out, the heavens opened. And then a verdict. Let me tell you this. Jesus would have walked under a closed heaven, even as the word. For 30 years, his heavens were closed until John opened that heavens. So I want you to understand that this thing is not some Pentecostal thing. These are ancient patterns. It has always been like that. That men are submerged through a system of spiritual illumination where the thoughts of God, the belief systems of the kingdom are given to them. When their capacity now expands, you cannot go in the strength of the flesh. Life is too risky without grace, without the empowerment of the Spirit. As a man of God, what gives you authority to believe members will just come to your church? No. There are arsenals of darkness. There is the scourging tongues of men. You will need an empowerment. When Jesus began to cast out devils, they said he uses Beelzebub. He said, no, if I use Beelzebub, by who do your fathers cast out devils? Listen. Every dimension of God allocated for revelation must be revealed. The Bible says, for the earnest expectation awaited the manifestation of the sons of God. One of the versions says, creation is waiting for God to reveal those who his sons truly are. Hallelujah. And so tonight, what you are receiving is something exact. Anointing is not just about falling down. You know, many people fall down and stand up and they don't receive anything. No, there must be a description of what has come upon you and what will change as a result. You are not anointed when your life remains the same. Oil does not anoint. No, the oil must be anointed to anoint. Hallelujah. And so I say this to our graduating students. I truly celebrate you. We have worked together. We have cried together through the rain, through the storms, in the night, in the day. You have cried. You have been taught the precepts of the kingdom. And I dare to tell you that through your hunger, through your honor, through your submission, as Paul would say, you have qualified to be partakers of my grace. He says partakers of grace. And you can receive it. Hallelujah. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me and the light that came from him to me, in the latter encounters of my life, God would instruct me that in every generation and everywhere I go, there must be people that light that came from him must have a way of transferring to them. This is something that he revealed to me. And so now, listen, what I am doing, I'm not ministering to you as a man. I'm ministering to you in the fullness of the office that God has provided. There are times that Paul will speak and say, I speak as a man. He said, have I not seen Jesus? Am I not an apostle? He says, this is not an ordination of men. It's an election of grace. So I want to, and everybody around, please let's join them in 1 minute and just pray and say, Father, the time has come to produce something for yourself that will bring you glory and will bring you power and will bring you light. Those who have come to back them up, please pray. Pray in the spirit. Shepa la barato sata barato. Alabaruda salabradishiata. Ragadulata shadabrada balada balada bash. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please let me have the plate or whatever it is we're going to use. Now, please listen. Listen. I continue to say this, that even though... Thank you. Just one is okay. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me by his grace, an encounter with the Lord Jesus will never take you away from the grace allocated for the body. Men are lifted by God through men. It will take an encounter with men. And by the grace of God, I am a product of many anointings. Many anointings. I honor the body and I have received from the body. I have received all kinds of graces, spiritual possibilities that have come. And so that which you are about to receive, we shared a few of them yesterday. There are graces that work in this ministry, graces that provide for encounter, graces that provide for favor, signs and wonders, spiritual illumination and understanding, wisdom. All these are graces that is important for you to receive. And just a touch, that's all you need. And you go back and expect your life to shift. Expect that this thing will turn your life around. And I want to plead with everyone to please be patient as we minister to them. We'll do this very, very fast. And by God's grace,
we are not going to stay long here. This is for the glory of God, and this is so that the name of the Lord be praised. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. This is ordinary oil, but in the name of Jesus, standing in faith with our fathers and every man and woman of God here, as the body of Christ, we decree and we declare that this will no longer become an ordinary oil. Let it become a conduit for the transference of every grace. Lord, you have bestowed graces upon my life by the privilege of your mercy. I have gleaned from fathers, I have gleaned from the ancient, I have gleaned from the body. And according to the abundance of your mercy, I pray, oh God, that you pour into your people the graces, the possibilities that will turn their lives into signs and wonders. Thank you because you honor your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's okay. You can stand here, Pastor Alpha. Hold it for me. Stand up. So, praise the Lord. Now, please, while we're doing the impartation for them, whether or not you are part of the School of Ministry students, just be patient. Please, our fathers can sit and let's just be patient while we do that. But let me tell you this. You see, the thing about faith is you can be far off outside there, and although you are not a School of Ministry student, your hunger and your desire can draw this grace to you right where you are. It is true. It is true. Father, we thank you. Honor your word. Honor your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Please, quickly, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Grace, new dimensions. Father, in the name of Jesus, they step into this life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint you, signs, wonders. May your life become a wonder in the name of Jesus. May your life become a wonder in the name of Jesus. The fullness of the blessing, the fullness of power in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Greater manifestation, power, greater fire, in the name of Jesus Christ, we release you as ambassadors of the kingdom. Go with the possibilities of heaven. No man will fight you. In the name of Jesus, go with the grace we have obtained by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, new dimensions. In the spirit, new levels of power, new levels of grace by the power of the Holy Ghost.
There is fire,
light, illumination, new dimension. Ela baruta shabarutasia. Infra katujali parusia. Kabarada balada balakusia da balada bo. Infra katujali kada balada bo. Kala baruta shabarada balada bo. New dimension. In the name of Jesus. For your glory.
raise for yourself a bride. A bride of power. A bride of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ.
It's the fire of the Lord.
It's the fire of the Lord.
Let the fire up. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn over me. Let the fire. Let the fire.
In the name of Jesus, such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, new level, new dimension.
From within me, Spirit, you take over. Holy fire, burn upon my altar. Hey. Holy fire, burn upon my altar. From within me, Spirit, you take over. Holy fire, burn upon my holy fire, Lord. Burn upon from within me.
Hallelujah. Let me speak over your life in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare, whether in ministry, whether in business, whatever area of your life, I stand by the grace of God and I declare, walk under open heavens. Walk under open heavens. I speak open heavens for ministry, open heavens for career. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare, hear me, that any voice that speaks against you until now, I stand by the rod of a higher priesthood and I declare that voice is silenced forever. Silenced forever. In the name of Jesus, please hear me. Any man that fights you goes down instantly. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you, the kind of favor that you need for your assignment. I stretch my hand by the privilege of this grace and I command your life to continue to receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the spirit of death. I command that it is far from your dwelling in the name of Jesus Christ. For those of you that God will honor to be in the ministry, I strengthen your hands. Make maximum impact by the Spirit. Signs and wonders. The accurate communication of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that a space must be created for your impact in this generation. In the name of Jesus Christ, regardless of your background, I forbid you from being ignored. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that has refused to walk in your life, by this grace that you have received, I command it to begin to walk in the name of Jesus. May your eyes be opened. Access to illumination by the Spirit. I declare that the Holy Spirit will freely flow through your faculties and turn you into signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that the graces allocated for your offices, may you step into those graces. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I decree and declare, the Bible says, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. Everyone is allocated to a spiritual family. This is a tribe and a family, and there are possibilities that come with this family. Every grace that has been deposited by covenant, signified by the angel of his presence, may it work for you in the name of Jesus. May it work for you in the name of Jesus. I command that it works for you in the name of Jesus. And I will multiply them, they will not be few. And I will glorify them, they will not be small. I speak that prophecy over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. The last prayer I will pray for you for is the gift of men, the grace. The Bible says the Lord sends the word, but great be the company of them that publish it. I prophesy to the north, the south, the east, and the west that every project, every advocacy that your life proposes, may men rise up to support you in the name of Jesus Christ. You will become an epistle of the wonder working power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray even for these ones, and I decree and declare that the kind of results that follow obedience, the kind of results that follow submission, the kind of results that follow honor, in the name that is above all names, may those results coordinate themselves and be represented in the lives of these ones. In the name of Jesus, I declare that your grace will not be ignored. Your relevance will not be ignored. Therefore, in the name of God the Father, the name of God the Son and the Spirit, I decree and declare that we release you in this place as ambassadors of the kingdom to represent the purposes of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Congratulations, celebrate yourselves. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live, go to mixler.com/koinonia-radio.
And download the teachings on koinoniasermons.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate.